my dear friends in Christ. Today we celebrate the feast of the Holy Apostle and Evangelist, St. Matthew. And St. Matthew obviously wrote one of the four Gospels, and he is very often represented as one of the four creatures that was mentioned in today's epistle. And St. Matthew is symbolized as the winged man because of the fact that his Gospel focuses on the humanity of Christ. And the Gospel of St. Matthew begins with the genealogy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But St. Matthew is said to have been born at Cana in Galilee, which is where our Lord had worked his first miracle by changing the water into wine. And the Gospel today tells us that St. Matthew was a publican or a tax collector. And this was an office that was greatly despised by the Jewish people. First off, because they considered themselves a free people and thought that the government had no right to exact taxes from them. And secondly, they especially despised the tax collectors because those who were in that office generally defrauded people and extorted from them more than what was lawful. And so this is why they were classed and counted among the public sinners. But as we read, one day when St. Matthew was sitting in the tax collector house, discharging his duty, Christ passed by with his disciples. And seeing Matthew, he looked lovingly on him and said, "Come, follow me." And this was a very decisive moment in the life of St. Matthew, as he was enlightened and moved by divine grace. And Matthew corresponded with that grace, and he arose immediately and followed Christ. And St. Matthew prepared a great banquet for Christ, and he invited many of his fellow co-workers, and in order that they might hear the instruction of our Lord and be converted. And the Pharisees, seeing this, complained of it to the disciples of our Lord, saying, "Why does your master eat and drink with publicans and sinners?" And we read the response how Christ said, "They that are well need not the physician, but they that are sick." And when the feast ended, Matthew left everything and followed Christ, and he was numbered among his apostles. So St. Matthew was there on the day of Pentecost, received the Holy Ghost like the other apostles and disciples. And he went forth into the world to labor like the other apostles for the conversion of men. But before going forth into where he would later spend the majority of his life, he wrote his Gospel. And that was a short sketch of the life, the sufferings, and the death of our Lord. And he did this in order to impress better the teachings of Christ on the minds of the newly converted. And so after this task was done, according to tradition, Matthew went to Ethiopia and to the neighboring countries in that area. And this is where he began to preach and to teach. And there were many miracles that St. Matthew performed that helped to open the eyes of the blind pagans and for them to recognize their errors and for them to convert to the true faith. But there was one miracle, according to tradition, that especially impressed the pagans and helped to convert a great number of them. And this was the fact that the Holy Apostle raised from the dead the royal princess. Now, her father, the king of Ethiopia, had called his magicians to his court, requesting them to bring back to life his child who had died. And these magicians tried all in their power to bring the lifeless body back, but to no avail. And the king, having heard of St. Matthew and of the miracles that he had worked, had him called into his presence and requested of him to raise his daughter back to life. And the apostle went forth and commanded her in the name of Jesus Christ to arise. And to obviously the great amazement of everyone there, the princess immediately arose, full of health and life. And this miracle induced the king with his entire court to receive instruction in the Christian faith and to be baptized with great solemnity. And the example of the king was followed by a great number of people. And it is said that paganism was conquered in that country on account of this particular miracle. And so Saint Matthew labored in this area, it is said, for close to 23 years, preaching the gospel and converting and baptizing many to the faith. It is said that he ordained and he many bishops and priests in the different areas that he founded many churches in. And it is said that he finally ended his life with a glorious martyrdom. And this glorious martyrdom took place before the altar. And so you see a very beautiful representation of this in a famous painting by the famous artist Caravaggio. I believe it was 1500s, 1600s, but he painted, like I said, a very famous painting of the martyrdom of St. Matthew. And it is that where he was slayed before the altar. But according to tradition, it is said that what had happened was that Iphigenia, the eldest daughter of the newly converted king of Ethiopia, had not only become a Christian, but also had consecrated her virginity to Almighty God. After having heard St. Matthew preach on the priceless value of purity and how he exhorted others to guard and preserve it. So her example was followed by many other virgins who, choosing the princess as their superior, live together and occupy their time of prayer and work, just like a convent. And so it is that her uncle succeeded to the throne and had asked the hand of his niece in marriage. And she, being a virgin consecrated to Almighty God, refused him and said that she had promised to be faithful to her heavenly bridegroom. And so the king, her uncle, was greatly provoked by this. And so he had St. Matthew brought into his presence and requested him that he convince her to consent to his offer. Now, the saint promised that he would give his advice to Iphigenia on the following day in the presence of the king in the church. And so it is that the next morning in a sermon, St. Matthew proceeded to explain first that matrimony instituted by Almighty God is in itself a lawful in a holy state. And after this, he began to praise the state of virginity and to demonstrate that it was something that was much more agreeable and pleasing to God, adding very emphatically that anyone, after due deliberation, who had consecrated themselves to God could not break that vow without serious sin. And so he proceeded to expound on this, and he admonished everyone there present to remain constant in the true faith, despite the fact that it should cost their blood and their life. And he proceeded with the holy sacrifice of the Mass. So the king, Hyrtacus, left the church full of rage. And following the advice of some wicked people, he sent some soldiers back into the church to kill St. Matthew. And one of these, going towards the saint who was standing before the altar offering Mass, thrust a spear into his body. And the saint, obviously, sank down and expired there at the altar. Others contend or maintain that he was beheaded with an axe at the altar, but what is quite sure is that he was killed while offering the holy sacrifice of the Mass and standing before the altar of God, thus, so to say, becoming himself a victim at the moment when he was offering the pure sacrifice. And so he is called by the Holy Fathers the victim of virginal purity, as he shed his blood in defending it. And the king, when he was informed of St. Matthew's death, hastened to the house where his niece and the other virgins dwelt, and repeated his demand. And when she courageously refused, he commanded that the house be set on fire and burnt to the ground with everyone inside of it. His wicked design was, however, frustrated, and it is said that when the flames began to arise, St. Matthew appeared and warded them off in such a manner that neither the house nor those within it were injured. And the king himself was punished for his evil deeds with a very a terrible leprosy that he contracted, it is said, as a punishment for his terrible deeds. But as we reflect upon the life of St. Matthew, in preparing for the sermon, there were some things that I myself actually was not aware of, and I was very greatly edified by what I had read. But I think for all of us here, what we can at least take away is the fact that St. Matthew especially corresponded and he listened to and corresponded to the grace that God gave to him, that he immediately left all and followed Christ when Christ presented himself and told him, "Come, follow me." And even though he was considered a sinner by the Jewish people, like I said, we see the mercy of God, and who turned to St. Matthew and called him to a life of repentance, to a life of penance, and to a life in his service. And we keep this in mind because he calls all of us to follow him, to obey his commandments, to live our Catholic faith, and we should follow the example of St. Matthew and correspond to that grace and not hesitate in following Christ, despite what our sins may have been in the past, despite, like I said, whatever struggles we may have or have. Let us leave everything behind, so to say, and correspond to the grace that God gives to us and follow him. And we keep in mind the words of our Lord, that if anyone will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. And what a very beautiful example we have in the life of St. Matthew. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.